Okay. When I was a girl, eons ago, we used to sing this song in children's church. And the song was Deep and Wide. Yeah. Are you familiar with it? Yes. Deep and Wide. Okay. Well, I raised that to you this morning. I want to be able to see people here. Because we're going to dig into the scripture deep today. And then we're going to watch a video, a little something different, and it's going to show us some width, okay? So we're going to do deep and wide today, so I just want you to know that up front as we look at John chapter 13. And so we've been kind of in this now for a couple weeks, I think, at least. For me, it's been a long time, but that's okay. So let's start with prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that your love for us goes deep and wide. We thank you that your Spirit works in us both deeply and widely. And so I pray that as you prompt us to discuss this chapter, that we would sense your presence, that we would lean in on your Spirit to help us understand. And we thank you for every part of this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okie doke. Well, if I were breaking this chapter into some subtitles, I would take verse 1 and call that context. Why do I say that? Because it starts out now before the Feast of Passover. Jesus, knowing that his hour had come. This is it now. We're in this moment of coming, of having come. And so this is our context now. And it says, and Ramona shared with us this morning, having known his own and those who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So this is the beginning of the end. Okay? The beginning of the end. So that's our context today. Then the next section I would call Supper with Leadership Lessons. And that would be from verses approximately 2 to 17. Supper with Leadership Lessons. And we're going to actually look at some other scripture to help us with that understanding today too. Then 18 to 20 I call the New Method of Communication, so there's no misunderstanding. And they had asked for that over and over. Speak to us plainly, they would say. So he did that. Then I've got 21 to 30, the betrayal set in motion. And I'm using that as an example of what you find in verse 19, this communication where there's understanding. Then 31 to 35, I've got preparation for glorification and revelation. That sounds like a lot. That's a mouthful. And then finally, verses 36 to 38, Peter's denial foretold. And again, we're going to look at some cross references there. So this is a lot, which is why we're going to go deep and wide. Okay, so let's look first at this section, Supper with Leadership Lessons. What seven things did Jesus do during this interaction? I'm going to let you pull them out. Seven things you're looking for that Jesus did during this moment of communicating leadership lessons.
Which group was
the 2 to 17. 2 to 17. There are seven things.
Well, servant leadership, I guess.
Servant leadership. How did he do that?
By example, by serving them.
By example, by serving them. Okay, so if you look at verses 4 and 5, he got up from supper. That's one. He laid aside his garments, 2, took a towel, 3, girded himself, 4, poured water into a basin, 5, and began to wash the disciples' feet, 6, and to wipe them with a towel is number 7. Okay? So I want you to see there's just a short list there of what he did. And you can just number them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I want you to start thinking this way. I keep trying. But let me ask you this. What does verse 3 mean? What does it mean? Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. What does that mean? Go ahead, Ramona.
Well, I think that's, okay, I think that's a setup. When he said that all things were under his feet,
yes,
he was going back to the Old Testament.
Oh.
And he was, all things means subject.
Yes.
But later he says that his heel is against me.
Okay.
And so it goes back to that promise in Genesis,
okay,
where
mm-hmm.
he shall strike his heel. So the betrayal and the rebellion
okay.
was against him.
Okay.
He was going to strike that
mm-hmm.
heel
mm-hmm.
by dying on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. So she's gone back. Anybody else? And I would go forward. Because he was going to be accomplishing these things, just what you're talking about. But they're all going to be accomplished in what he is yet to come. Yeah. Cool. Okay, yes, he came from God and he's going back to God. So then he did these 7 things, and he came to Simon Peter and said, and Simon Peter said to him, Lord, you wash my feet? Jesus said, you don't realize it now, but you will understand after. And Peter objected to that. He said, don't wash my feet. If you do that, then wash all of me. And Jesus said, no. I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So he only wanted to wash his feet. Feet and hands and head. Okay, let me ask you. In verse 10, Jesus uses the word bathed. He who has bathed needs only to wash his hands and feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Who can tell me what the word bathed means? Did you look it up in Blue Letter Bible or somewhere else?
Baptism.
Say it again.
Baptism.
Baptism. Okay. Yes. Yes and no. What else? What else did you find?
Washed by the word.
Washed by the word is a good answer. Yes. The body washed, it's given in the passive voice. Think about this now. Let's reason together, says the Lord. So we're going to do that this morning. Okay? It's in the passive voice. It's the effect of God's word on the life of the believer. It's something that happens to us. Are you with me? Salvation, when we're saved, we've been transformed, but is it something we do?
No.
No, it's something that's done on our behalf. It's something that's done to us. So that's this word bathed. He who has bathed, it's already been done, needs only to wash his feet and his hands or his head. Now, why those things? What does that mean? Why those things? Let's reason together here. If a person is bathed, is clean already, what is it that comes in contact with the world on a regular basis? Your feet and your hands and maybe your head or face or whatever. So there's, yeah, I mean, we don't live in heaven. I hate to tell you. We're just not there yet. So these things come into contact with evil, with filth, with life, and they need to be cleansed. All right. Two things have happened here. Yes, there's this serving aspect of what Jesus is doing, isn't there? Here he is, Lord and Master, and he's bent down to serve these disciples by washing their feet. And a lot of people can understand that part. But I'm going to push it a little bit and say, what about why he's choosing this to serve? What makes this service different than serving some other way? It's very humbling, yes. And Jesus was very good at that. And he calls us to be good at that.
It's obedient.
I think going along with the line that I'm thinking about,
okay,
in that Judas lifted his heel against Christ.
Okay.
And that we're in the world and we're going to be touched by evil and rebellion and, I mean, bad attitudes, all these kinds of things.
All that stuff, yes.
And so that, you know, as we walk in our walk and we're touched by these things, we need to have our feet cleansed.
We do.
You know, we need to process what's around us.
That's right.
Be able to take it to Christ and subject our thoughts to Christ and be in line with Christ.
That's
and
right.
So that's why the feet.
Okay. Good. Good.
In that line of thinking.
Uh huh.
But Judas was there too.
He was. He was.
And so he had his feet washed.
He did.
And he went.
He did it anyway, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So okay.
He has will.
Right.
Has free will.
It did say not all of you are clean.
Yes.
So not all of them had been bathed.
Yes.
In other words. Okay.
So the outward
right.
stuff doesn't do
but
that.
But let's think about another disciple that was there.
Peter.
Let's think about Peter. How would this apply to Peter?
He's going to deny Christ.
He was. He was going to deny Christ. And yet Jesus washed his feet. What does that signify?
Forgiveness of sin.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Yes. Forgiveness.
That reminds me of what Paul said about, I do the things I hate, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like it's just acknowledging that we're in the world, and as much as we are believers in Christ, we
exactly, exactly.
Here.
Yeah. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9 might help you understand. Now, this is the same author. This is John, okay? How do those verses go?
If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Right, right. If we confess our sins. And there are other verses that talk about confessing our sins or forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. There's a lot. In fact, you'll probably start to think of other scriptures. So do we have a role, my question, do we have a role in helping each other practice forgiveness or in forgiving one another? Just think about these things. We're going deep. We're going to go wide. Okay? Anyway, so I just wanted to give you a little bit to chew on there this morning. And then let's drop down to verse 17. It says, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And I'm going to translate that. Live in light of what you know. If you know these things, do them. Live in light of what you know. I'm kind of managing my time here. So the betrayal was set in motion in verses 21 to 30, I'm trying to see if I need to say anything about this interim here. Oh, yeah, I will. Verse 19. Let's go on here. Verse 19. From now on, I'm telling you before it comes to pass, so when it occurs, you may believe that I am he. This is a new tactic that Jesus, you know, here they wanted him to talk plainly. Well, he's going to demonstrate to them, okay? So he gets down to being troubled in spirit in verse 21, and they don't quite understand what's the matter until he says, one of you is going to betray me. And the disciples start looking at each other like, whoa, who is this? Who is he speaking of? And you're going to see in the video a picture of this supper in a dramatization. Okay, so this will make a lot more sense then. But Simon Peter gestured to him and says to John, find out who it is. I love that. So anyway, then Jesus made it obvious. Verse 26. And you're going to see this in the reenactment, but I want you to know the disciples missed it. They missed it. It's going to be obvious to us, but we are reading, you know, after the fact. So, there was a clue. What was the clue? Do you see it? Jesus was going to make it plain. He dipped the morsel. He dipped the morsel, and they shared bowls of oil and bitter herbs. And you'll see that in the video. And so he dipped it in and gave it to Judas. Now let's look at, we're going to go deep again. After the morsel, Satan entered into him. What does that mean? How did Satan, what did Satan do? Yes. It, so much so that he had already talked to the elders ahead of time and kind of worked out a deal. So he had already done some legwork. But after the morsel, it changed. It changed. It was almost as if he was given permission. Okay.
Now, did he know that Jesus just kind of like told on him to the other disciples? Did Judas know that, or did he miss it too?
I don't know.
Was
that
he
part.
Feeling like?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just called him out.
Yeah, yeah. Did he feel
I don't
want
to speak for Judas.
But you know when you're mad and you're like, oh, I'm going to get this guy even harder now.
That could be.
Yeah.
That could be. I hadn't thought of it that way. I don't know.
Maybe he said it quietly, though, like only John could hear him. Yeah, because it says he leaned back on his bosom.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe so. Maybe so. Let's look at entered, verse 27. Entered. The word means to take possession of the body of a person or the thoughts that come to mind. That's what that word means. So if you looked it up in Blue Letter Bible, you would have known that, okay? Entered in, entered into him. It's interesting, the same word is used in John 10, verse 1, talking about the gate to the sheepfold, entered in, okay? So you've got the same word there. So there was this permission, I'm going to call it permission granted. And the reason I say that is because we see down at the end of the chapter when Simon Peter is going to be tempted to betray, not betray, but denounce Jesus, that according to Luke, you know, Satan had asked permission to enter him, to sift him like wheat. Okay, so there's some kind of a permission going on here. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He was walking in the way the Lord had orchestrated for him to go. They had talked about it before he came to earth. Have you ever thought about that? I think they had a real conversation. The Lord sat down with Jesus and said, this is what's going to happen. But anyway, so he received the morsel and he went out immediately. And Judas now was gone. And then once Judas was gone, Jesus says, therefore, when he had gone out, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. Mm-hmm. So all of this was going to take place now very quickly. All right, let's see. This preparation, that was the preparation for glorification and revelation. Then we have Peter's denial foretold. Let's see. Any thoughts about that in light of what we just discussed with the foot washing?
I just thought that Peter had his own conditions for things.
Don't we all?
Yes.
Okay.
And as he, you know, and then, you know, that set him up for him to do things his own way and think things out himself and have things the way he wanted them. And when they weren't the way he wanted them, then he was going to do whatever he needed to do to maintain his willfulness, and that's why he denied Christ.
Wow, that sounds so familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a teenager.
Yeah, I was tossed around by his emotions. First Peter, when Jesus was there, you know, I'm going to die with you.
Uh-huh.
And then when Jesus really wasn't there with him anymore, then he denied him. So it was like, you know, you get on this emotional high. Woo-hoo. And then when you're alone and afraid,
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus knows us to our core. He knows, like,
yes,
that
he does.
There's sin in us, and he's like, he still loves us.
That's the peace. That's the peace. Yes, Lydia.
And Peter was saying that, I love you,
Yes.
It's not by our wish. God has to give us a kind of power to.
Okay, okay.
So it's not by our strengths.
Right.
But Peter was saying it. I'm strong enough.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He really wanted to be.
He made himself first.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it with the power.
Again, that's like what Ramona was saying in his terms.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus had what? He had washed Peter's feet. He had forgiven him. Think about that. Peter was already forgiven. You and I are already forgiven. Even when we try to operate in our own strength, sometimes we have to be shown, look, this is how you're going about something. You might consider a different way. Do you remember when David was confronted by Nathaniel?
Nathan.
He did, didn't he? He had his feet washed. How open to this kind of thing are we? How can we be showing each other? How can we wash each other's feet? It might be in a situation like that, or it might be just serving people, loving them to a place where they bend the knee to Jesus. There's different ways, and the Lord uses it all.